What we're going to be talking about is meditation and a specific way of meditating that is just one possibility of how to meditate. And this is a meditation where we take an idea, a desire, a prayer that we want to come to pass. Obviously, we wouldn't pray for something if it's not something we desired. Now, I want to just clarify a little bit about the word desire here for a moment, because in Scripture it says, you know, choose this. And we often tell you to have to make choices. If you understand the word choice and the fullness of the word, it's not the word that we use in the English, which is choose, like, you know, I choose broccoli over carrots, or I choose to do good and avoid evil. It really means desire. Like, I have a taste for broccoli, but I don't have a taste for carrots. I have a taste for life, but I don't have a taste for death. It's not that you actually have the sense of free will, because Scripture talks about how we can be a slave to something. Mm-hmm. So if you are a slave to something, but you believe Scripture, you could easily deceive yourself into thinking, well, I'm not a slave to that because I'm a Christian now. Or I choose life, not death. The problem is, Scripture says, whoever you obey, to that one you're a slave to. Now, Scripture also talks about that when we're a child, we're treated no different than a slave, even though we're master over all. So how can we be a slave and be master over all? If you still have a child mentality, a child awareness, a childlike revelation, not a childlike faith. See, childlike faith just believes. A childlike faith believes because it, from the time it's born, its mother is nursing it, changing its diaper. Everything it needs is just handed to it. It doesn't work for anything. That's a childlike faith, one that doesn't work for anything. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about meditating into having a childlike faith where you don't work for anything. You desire, you pray, you believe that you've already received at the time you're praying, and you shall have it. However, when your members war against each other, you're tossed to and fro like a wave and you won't get anything. Mm-hmm. So if you pray in fear, if you pray in lack mentality, that's what you're going to get. Whatever you're afraid of and whatever you believe you don't have, you won't have. But if you understand that you're already master of all and you're walking in it, there's no such thing as lack. It says that we go through trials and tribulations because that perfects us, and we then can lack nothing. So this is a form of meditation. And let me explain the word meditation. Meditation just means to become aware of yourself. That's it. It means to be aware of who you are. So in this form of becoming aware of who you are, we're going to pay attention to what you are and what you are not. And you are not the giver. You are a receiver, or else you wouldn't be praying for something to receive. But when you're a receiver, child of God, you don't beg. And when you're a receiver, child of God, you know you're loved and you don't pray in fear. So what is the evidence that you don't know who you are if you're begging or praying in fear? So most of the time in my life, I did a lot of praying out of fear of lack. Mm-hmm. I did a lot of praying out of fear of something bad might happen. I was trying to avoid bad, and I was trying to obtain good and reach a state of holiness, if you will. Well, one of the words holy, it means to be one with God. And we think of it as H-O-L-Y, but if you understood the word holy, you would see W in it. And a W literally is what it says it is, a double you. That which is the receiver of God. That's why your body's called a temple. or a house. See, my house that we're sitting in receives us. Mm-hmm. And we abide in it. We're abiding in the house. We're not running out the door. We're abiding in it. We're dwelling in the house. And the Bible says if we dwell in Christ and Him in us, we shall not sin. And you can ask anything you will in His name and He'll give it to you. Anything that you want to, as long as it's the Father's will. Well, is it the Father's will that you be blessed and goodness and mercy chase you down? Yeah. He says, go consider the lily. It neither spins nor toils, and look at it. Even Solomon wasn't arrayed in that kind of beauty. But you know what I had learned? Work hard. Do this, do that, follow up, make sure you do all these things. And I'm not saying that I don't have to work. I mean, I get to work, but I don't have to. I get to follow up. I get to have relationship. The Bible also says where your heart is, there shall your treasure be also. So if your heart is in the kingdom of God, your heart is in love, your heart is in awareness of God, that's where your treasure is. But also where your heart is, there shall your treasure be also means your desire. Whatever you desire and you're passionate about, that's where your treasures are. What kind of treasures? All of them. Financial, relational, any kind of generosity that you want to be able to give to other people. Whatever you're passionate about, the earth is required, or it's created in such a way that it gives you what you need in order to manifest what's inside of you. That's what the earth does. The earth holds seed inside of it, and it rains and gives sunshine, and that rain and sunshine from out of nowhere, hear that, out of nowhere, shines into the earth, which is darkness, and out of darkness, which is another form of nowhere, that which is held in it sprouts out, multiplied. So you are made like the soil. You have seed in you. Seed is a desire. God gave you the seed, He gave you the desire, and He'll bring the increase. Our job, if you want to call it a job, is to just be aware that the seed is there, that the desire is there, and that God delights in giving it to you, not rewarding you with it. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Big difference, reward and gift. Mm-hmm. The word blessing and rain is the same word. God gives blessing, God gives rain. And the former rain, and then there's a latter rain, and the latter is greater than the former. So when we enter into this meditation, we're basically entering into a self-awareness mentality. So first thing I want to do is I want to look at, we have three different forms of awareness, if you will. We have our obvious awareness, like I can look around the room with my eyeballs and see. I can listen with my ears and hear. I can touch, I can taste, I can smell. That's your connection to the earth. It's your way to perceive. Each of those actually mean perception. You don't say, oh, let me see that with my hands. Like, you don't really mean you're going to look at it with you don't have eyeballs on your fingers. But if you were wearing a new scarf, I'd say, oh, let me see, and I might touch it. Why? Because to look at it and to touch it would give me a different perception. Mm-hmm. I could say, oh my gosh, that's so soft. But I wouldn't know that unless I touch it. I could presume it. But if I touch, I have a different measure of perception. So we perceive with our natural body. Your logical brain is what's going to record that. And your subconscious brain. Now your subconscious brain you go in and out of. You do it automatically, not even knowing you're doing it. As a matter of fact, there are certain things that will work against your subconscious. And I'll give you one example. If you were going to throw a football through a tire swing, if you throw the football and you miss the tire swing and you try to move your feet or your arms, you're probably just going to keep missing it. It'd be very difficult for you with your logical brain to calculate how many inches you missed it and where to step, because when you move a step, your arms are already going to move as well, because you have what's an innate calibrator. You have something inside your body that automatically calibrates. Do you know that your body calibrates every morning when it gets up? Because you might weigh 3 pounds difference every morning and every evening, especially if you have good bowel movements, right? I mean, that's literally true. So when you stand up and you walk, Your body's recalibrating based on whatever you weighed now compared to what you weighed yesterday. But you don't go, I better get on the scale and see how much weight I should put on each foot today. No, your body internally does it. When you throw the football, it does the same thing. So if you try to adjust it yourself, you're going to keep missing the hole. But if you'll just keep your eye on the hole and just keep throwing and just keep throwing and just keep throwing, your body will automatically calibrate and you'll start hitting the hole. You just got to keep your eye on the same spot. If you move your eye around, your body's going to have a hard time calibrating. But keep your eye on one spot. We used to do that when we play basketball. We'd pick one, you know, the little hooks that the net hangs on. You'd pick one hook, and you had certain spots on the floor that you would shoot from that gave you a perfect angle. And if you kept your eyeball not on your teammates, not on your defense, not on the net, but on the hook, that was the center hook of the place on the ground that you were at, and you did that every single time, your ability to hit what we call the bottom of the net was like perfect. Your form is there, your fundamentals are there, but you got to have your eyeball in the right spot. So that just makes you aware of something. You trust all the innate everything else to happen. You do the same thing when you shoot a bow and arrow, when you throw a baseball. Why? Because you have this inside calibrator. You have intelligence inside you that automatically works. Well, you have the same thing inside of you when it comes to prayer, but you got to get out of the knowledge part of your brain. You got to get into the inside part of you. So you've got your conscious brain, you've got your subconscious brain, and you've got your unconscious brain. So what does your unconscious brain do? That's what makes your heart beat and your involuntary stuff happen. You know, you're not consciously thinking when to blink your eyes and all of that. Your body's just doing it for you. You're not even aware that you can make yourself aware. You can start paying attention to how often you blink. You'll probably blink a little bit more because you're paying attention to it. But we want to work in that subconscious brain. And we want you to become aware of what's in your subconscious brain. Now, one of the ways that you can get into what's called heart coherence is you can think about something that needs compassion and care and attentiveness, like a puppy or a baby or kitten or something like that. I will tell you, if you do that, you might end up with a puppy or a baby. So you might want to pick something you're okay with having if you start practicing having heart coherence with an imagination while you're feeling care, compassion, appreciation, and gratitude. Because you start having gratitude for a baby puppy in your arms, you're probably going to end up with a baby puppy, which I did the first time I did this. Within probably about a week, I ended up with the exact puppy I was imagining in my intentions. I didn't know, I didn't expect to get a puppy, but I did. Well, most of us don't expect to get what we're afraid of, but we do. So that's one thing we can do is we can imagine something that needs care, compassion, appreciation, gratitude. And when you do that, and you imagine holding it, when you hold a baby puppy, you're actually connected to the world. You're connected to an outside source. And when you feel compassion, you're connected to an inside source, God. God is compassionate. So when you do those two things simultaneously, that's called heart coherence. That's when your external body and your logical brain begin to connect with your internal, compassionate, loving self where God moves through you, where your emotions are. That will bring you into heart coherence. When you do that, your body's going to produce something called telomerase, which is basically an anti-aging enzyme. Mm-hmm. It stops the telomere from depleting itself as the DNA releases itself into itself to recreate itself. There's another way you can have heart coherence that I'm aware of. I'm sure there are many, but these are the couple that we're going to talk about today. The second one is we can do an imagination where we'll put like a whole tones music in the background, and I will begin to, or me or somebody can begin to make you aware of time and space and your natural body. And then we'll make you aware of where there is no time and there's only space and there's no one, no thing, no place, no person, nothing, just an absolute nothingness where all things are possible, like a giant void of space where only expansion exists and there's everything possible. And so as we're going into a meditation, and we'll actually do one, I might say, be aware of the nose on your face. Be aware of the space inside your nose on your face. be aware of the space behind your nose. So that'd be like, you know, inside your brain somewhere, like back up in there, right? Be aware of that space. Be aware of the space around your head. Now be aware of that space in space, where there's no time, where it's only space, it's only dark, there's nothing. Now when you do those two things, you're actually becoming aware of two different dimensions. A dimension where there's sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing, and a dimension where there's not. When you do that, you see how it's very correlated or very similar to holding the puppy and touching the puppy and seeing the puppy has needs and needs, you know, for care, and you can appreciate that, the innocence of that puppy, while at the same time you're feeling compassion, which is where you can't measure compassion. You can't measure appreciation. It's an immeasurable place. You see how when I tell you to think about your nose, that's a measurable place, and then think about space, mm-hmm. It's a non-measurable space. You can't measure space. You can't measure darkness. Darkness is an absence. It's not a presence. So when you do those two things at the same time, your heart and your brain go into heart coherence again. It's where they two begin to move as one. And that's your objective. That's your only objective. Just to come into a place where your heart is present and your body's present at the same time. And you just become aware that you're aware. That's it. That's what the meditation is. Be aware that you're aware. You're aware of your body, but you're also aware that there is a place. There is a space that is no place, no time, no one, nowhere, no thing. It's literally the place of all things possible. So with God, all things are possible. That's really where it's at. So you're actually... your logical brain may not get it, but your internal intelligence that God placed in you, the God that holds all things together that's in you, knows that you are aware of God's presence. It's an omnipresence. It's an omnipotent. It's a all things possible. It's a everything is and is not at the same time. It's a place of being okay with not needing to know. It's a place of trust.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where I am that I am. And I am not that I am not. I am the nose on my face. I am not, I am nothing. Now Enoch was not. And he walked with God. Did you hear what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
So when I can bring you to a place where you become aware of a place that nothing is, including yourself. That's a place of I am not. You just become aware of nothingness. The very first thing in the Bible was, and the earth was without form and void. Now the void is where God spoke into. You think that's different? You think it's changed? It's the same. It's the very place that God speaks into. And if God speaks something, shall it not be? So we're going to show you how to meditate and be that. So the first part of the meditation is just heart coherence. It's kind of like this. Tick, 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 tick. And each tick is inside time, outside time. Inside time, outside time. In the body, out of the body. In the body, out of the body. Whether in the body, out of the body, I know not.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the state that John was in on the island called Patmos. Whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. In other words, it didn't matter. I became aware that I am. I became aware that God is. I am not and God is. So it's in a state of 100% receiver, not needing to know. Now, when we can do that, before we do that, we will actually take a moment and we will think about what is our prayer. Before we go into the place of all things possible. Because see, when there's nothing there, all things possible when there's nothing. If there's something, that something will get your attention, and that's where you are. But a place of nothingness leaves a blank sheet of paper. You can draw anything on a blank sheet of paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to that. If there's nothing there, then all things remain possible. So we want to take into that place of blank sheet of paper, mm-hmm. or open space.
Mm-hmm.
We want to take our intention there, our prayer. So what is Angela's prayer? What is Angela's intention? I'm going to use mine to give you an example because I've already been working on mine.
Mm-hmm.
My intention, my heart dream, is I want the world to awaken to how powerful the emotions are. And how that's where all relationship exists, is in the emotion. If it doesn't exist there, it's intellectual. It's not heartfelt. It won't last. It'll wax cold at some point. Or it will lack meaning. Relationship is emotion. But our emotions are so wounded that most relationships are ending. And we're going into another relationship and another and another. That was common in Jesus' day. If you would have asked for me of living water, I would have given you drink and you would never thirst again. The husband, you've had five husbands and the man that you're with is not your husband. And she ran and told a whole city, come and see one who told me all the things that ever happened in my life. Not just about the five men, yea, the next one that wasn't her husband. But what he's saying is that when you enter into this place where you know me and I know you, and it's relationship, which is in the heart, all things are possible there. That's where you abide in him and he in you. That's what it means to believe in Jesus. To him who believes in Christ, to him all things are possible. So we're going to go into our prayer with an intention. So for mine, it was, God, I want to bring to the world the revelation of the emotion and how powerful they are. So I imagine me writing my books. I imagine me standing on stages and speaking to thousands. I imagine me walking through villages and hugging the little children and having women come up to me and hug my neck because their marriage was saved or because they're no longer being abused. I just start imagining all these results, mm-hmm. as if the message has already been given to the whole world. And technically it already has, because I sent it out on the wind. I've actually preached to the wind. I speak to the wind. Jesus spoke to the wind and obeyed him. So I do the same thing because God told me to. At one time I thought, I can't preach because nobody will give me a spot. And God said, I told you to preach. If I told you to preach, name somebody bigger than me that could stop you. I said, but God, they won't let me. I was in a victim mentality. And God said to me, do you think that my wind can take a dandelion that's here today and gone tomorrow, take it anywhere I want it to, and it bring a whole field of dandelions? Do you think that my wind can't take my word? What's the difference between my word and a dandelion? Don't you know my dandelion is just a manifestation of my word? I went, oh my gosh, that's true. So God had me preach to empty rooms, to my yard, to the wind, to stuffed animals, long before I was preaching to people. So now I realize I've already preached to the whole world. So now I just imagine myself going out to the whole world and loving on the people that received the word, whether they know they've received it yet or not. And then I'll add to it sight, smell, taste, touch, and hearing. I might imagine the color of their skin and the color of their clothes and having a meal with them and what are we eating and have I ever tasted it before? Or I might imagine myself in a hot air balloon that's the color of a rainbow and I'm dropping down my books all over the whole earth with little balloons, that helium, that make it float down, and it's got all these names written on it. And then I might imagine them, each person that reads my book, buying at least 10 books and giving them away. I just start just playing with my imagination, letting it run wild. And then while I'm imagining all that, I'm imagining what it would feel like. It would feel like gratitude. It would feel like freedom. It would feel like peace on earth and goodwill toward all men. It would feel like generosity and gratitude. And gratitude is the evidence of that which was hoped for. And faith is the evidence. Faith means full persuasion. When my body enters into the heightened state of emotion called gratitude, it's because my physiological body doesn't know the difference between my imagination and that which is manifested in the earth, because to the body, they're the same. The soil doesn't know the difference between a cucumber seed and the cucumber plant. Why? Because they're one and the same. One is not seen, one is seen. It's the same thing in my body. I'm made out of dust. And the word of God came into me as a seed or a desire. And God loves giving me the desire and then giving me the desire. And so then I begin to imagine God looking at me in the face, and I wrap up all my intentions and I put them in a beautiful box. And I imagine handing that box to God and saying, God, I'll receive this from you no matter what it looks like, no matter how it comes. I can't wait to see how you give me this, because here are my desires. And then I pretend that God takes that box and just hugs it and smells it and just rubs it on his face and just slips it into his heart. And he says, oh, I can't wait to give you that. And I imagine God getting excited and delighting in giving me the desires, and that he's grateful. And that maybe me and God, we just start dancing around and laughing, and then we might both fall on the ground and he might tickle me and I tickle him back, and we're just belly laughing because God loves giving us the desires of our heart. And then at some point, after going through all that imagination, I'll just kind of start waking up from my, in the body or out of the body, I do not know. And when I come out of that state of mind, the physiological effects of the body that have been studied are tremendous. The body can go into very deep states of the brain that are not high beta. High beta is fight or flight. High beta is survival mentality. Well, do you, even me telling you that, did that feel like I was trying to survive? No. Weren't you there with me when I was describing it? Like you were there, you were excited with me. And if one can put 1,000, two can put 10,000, three is 100,000. We just put to flight 100,000 of what? 100,000 times magnetism than whatever it was in one person. And all it takes is one. So we actually, when we do that, we create a magnetic field around our body. Physiologically, it's been measured. That magnetic field affects gravity. If you study anything about space, you'll learn about dark matter or dark space or this empty space, or as the Bible would call it, a void. It actually has a gravitational pull or a magnetic pull. You have the same thing in your body and outside your body. If that magnetism gets strong enough, it changes the rotation or time. Gravity affects time. Time is affected by gravity. So the greater the void, the greater the gravity. The greater the gravity, the greater the pull. The greater the pull, the faster the manifestation. That's why we calculate time based on the rotations of the earth and its spinning as it goes around the sun. Sun stays stationary. Sun don't move. God doesn't move. God's omnipresent. Where would he move to? But if you are as he is, guess what you become? Omnipresent. And omnipresent is outside of space and time. So when you meditate, you may not realize it, but you're becoming aware that you're aware of two things, self and God. And when you become aware of God, you become aware of love. When you become aware of love, you become aware of gratitude. When you are in a state of gratitude and you and God are sharing gratitude, that is the evidence to the body. Physiologically, the body interprets it as evidence. It doesn't know the difference. And you actually collapse time and manifest whatever your intentions were. I have literally manifested a 20-foot metal chain under my feet unintentionally, not knowing I was going to manifest it, with two witnesses standing beside me. In a state of anger, because anger is an emotion. I was in a state of anger and love at the same time for the safety of my child. And literally a 20-foot metal chain manifested out of thin air under my feet to pull my son out of a ditch. I've manifested a check that was mailed to the wrong city for a person who was going to lose their deposit and their money and lose their house by doing what I'm teaching you. I didn't even know I was doing it. But it can become such a way of life that when you pray, you're not saying, oh God, please make this happen. You actually go in through time, in outside of time, and you see whatever it is, and you wait till you see it. And when you see it, it'll just appear to you. How does it come to you? From God. You could just see the end result. I wanted to see that check on the desk by no later than 9 o'clock the next morning on the correct desk, no longer in the United States Postal Service going to the wrong city. So I literally just imagined it as I was in this state of being aware that I'm aware, which we would normally call prayer. And the lady said to me, well, you can't do that. I said, of course I can't. That's why I sent my angels to do it. I sent the messenger. I sent the word. Master, we know, you know, I too have servants. Just send your word and it shall be done. I just sent the word or messenger, angel, whatever you want to call it. And literally a check that was headed to Alexandria, Louisiana on a Thursday night manifested in Denham Springs in a closed bank. And the next morning when they got there, it was on the desk out of thin air. You can collapse time and manifest matter. Now, am I an expert or a master at it yet? No, but Jesus was. And guess where the master lives? In me. Guess who's teaching me this? The master. I'm learning from him. Why? Because as he is, so are we. So what we'll do is we'll hit pause on the recorder.